Thank you, Linda. That was a great old song. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know him and be blessed. I like that. I like that message in that song. This morning, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 10 here in just a minute. Daniel chapter 10. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes about something which initially you might not want to hear, but the upside, the good news at the end is worth hearing it. It's always good to know where we are as a child of God, and we certainly want to have our eyes open and be aware to what we face. And I want to visit with you for just a few moments about a demonic or a satanic influence in the believer's life. Can you guys hear me back here? Okay. A demonic or a satanic demonic. I said demonic. That didn't sound right. A demonic influence or satanic influence in the believer's life. And we're going to use Daniel chapter 10 to get started here in just a moment. But what I want to do is read you a few verses first. There's a reality of an unseen force in the Christian's life. There is a satanic opposition to who we are and what we do. And it exists whether we believe it does or not. I couldn't debate with you on it. I'm not a good debater. Valerie's not here this morning, but in our family, she's the debater. And we get into discussions sometimes, and she's witty and thinks on the fly just like this and knows what to say, and I'm just left speechless. But you give me 2 hours, and I can come up with the perfect comeback. And so that's just what I face on a daily basis. But I can't debate this very well, but I know it from experience. Satan, and I know it from God's word, Satan is out there to put a roadblock in our path. And we read verses like this right here over in 1 Peter 5. You don't have to turn there because you probably know this by heart, but 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And so that verse right there is a verse after other verses about telling us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he may exalt us and use us in due time, and relying upon him, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. But on the bottom side of that is Satan trying to stop all of that right there. And he does. He tries to stop us as we serve the Lord and as we live for him day to day. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles," or the ways, the trickeries, the deceits, the mischiefs of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That tells me that there's a war going on for the battle of my mind and your mind, my affections, my desires. There's a war going on for that. So we as Christians need to be aware of that situation right there, especially when it, you know, not only in our service and as we live for the Lord from day to day, but in our prayer life. Satan hates for us to pray. It's going to be an interesting lesson. Coming up with all kinds of words here except the right ones. Satan hates for us to pray. Daniel was a man of God. The prophet Daniel was a man of prayer. And so Satan put all kinds of roadblocks in his life to stop that. So read with me Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse number 1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision." Now, if you'll remember in this passage of Scripture, this chapters 10 through 12 is simply a further explanation of the vision that Daniel got back in chapter 8. He finds out more details, and it's explained in a little bit better terms to him. And so he received this vision from God about what was about to happen to God's people. And For the most part, the Bible says that he understood it, but there was he didn't quite understand how it fit all together. It was a prophetic vision, the 70 weeks, and as you probably remember, between the 69th week of the prophetic vision and the 70th week, there was a time gap, and we're in that age period. So Daniel trusted God, he believes God about what's going to happen, and he understood it, but probably didn't know how it all fit together. And that's the way we have to have faith. When we trust God's word and when we believe God's word, sometimes it involves faith. The nation of Israel at this point was moving back to Zion, their home, and David had been a political advisor for the nation while they were in captivity. He was probably at this stage of his life, 80 or 90 years old, and he was trying to put it all together. So he was praying to God to show him to understand what he had heard from the angel of God, Gabriel. And verse number 2 says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." Now, we don't know exactly why he was mourning. It could have been the fact that he was so intent on finding God's message for him in this dream back in chapter 8. He was seeking God's face, and he was trying to figure out what God was trying to tell him. It could have been he could have been mourning for the sins of his people. They were slothful people, and many of them, although they were making their pilgrimage back to their homeland, they didn't do it quickly. Some of them didn't really want to get back. And then Ezra chapter 4 tells us that there were counselors who were opposed to rebuilding the temple. So there were all kinds of things there that possibly Daniel was thinking. But for whatever it was, Daniel did not have peace with what God had told him through the angel's message. He didn't have peace about it. Now, have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed? And have you ever read a portion of God's word, and have you ever been felt led to do something, but something just didn't seem right? That's where Daniel is. And so he prays for this answer, and he agonizes in prayer. I said Daniel was a man of prayer. That's one thing we all need to do a lot of, is pray. And Daniel was such a man of God who prayed to God, and when he didn't get an answer, he would keep on praying. It says in verse number 3, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So that was a sign of his sincerity of heart to find out what the message of God was. And it says in verse 4, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl or beryl stone, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." So Daniel is seeing this vision, this appearance of this man, this angel of God in front of him. And he says in verse 7, "I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." So they did not see what Daniel was seeing. They only felt the terror of the situation. They got out of there. Similar to Paul's experience in the New Testament on the road to Damascus. Those guys around him didn't see, but they felt that what was happening. There was something big going on. And it says in verse 8, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Now Daniel's strength was taken from him. He became, I think you could say, became white as a sheet. He lost his color. He was dealing with this great message from God, and he didn't know exactly what it was. He didn't know how to piece it all together. And in his agony and in his seeking God's face, he became weak. He lost his strength. Just as a side note, you know, if you've got something in your life that you're really seeking God's face for. We're going to see in just a minute. We're going to have, I don't have points a lot of times, I know I don't, but we're going to have 5 points in here in just a minute about this, the satanic influence that Satan has in the, potentially has in the child of God's life. And if you're ever dealing with a satanic oppression in your life or a demonic influence in your life, it will drain the strength right out of you. We can take that from the Word of God. That's what God's Word tells us. Here in Daniel's case, we're going to see it in just a minute. Daniel was weak. He was no match for what was going on. And we're no match for Satan's influence in our life other than God's power and the power of the Word of God. That's why it's so important to stay in God's Word and get His strength. And verse 9 says, "Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." So his strength is gone, and he falls asleep. But as we know from the verses that follow, he's still awake enough so he can hear what's being said, okay? The Word of God comes along and starts giving him this message, and he hears it. And verse 10 says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." So in our verses this morning that we read, there are going to be 3 times that a hand of the angel of God touches Daniel. And the first one happened in verse number 10. The hand touched him, and he was placed upon his hands and his knees. Before, he was on the ground. He was asleep with his face toward the ground. This hand picks him up, places him upon his hands and his knees. And Daniel says in verse 11, "He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." Now, here's what's interesting about that. I love things like this because Daniel was a sincere man that loved the Lord, and he was a man of prayer. And I didn't count the times, but in these few chapters alone, 3 or 4 times, that's what is said about him, a man greatly beloved. It says, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent." And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So that first this hand touches him and picks him up and puts him on his hands and knees. And then this voice tells him to stand upright. And because this messenger had a message for Daniel straight from God. And when he finished speaking, Daniel was upon his face, his feet. He stood up and he was trembling. He was told to stand up, and as he stood up, he began to tremble. When you look into God's Word, sometimes before God's Word gives us strength, it makes us weak. And Daniel was weak from what was going on here. Matthew Henry wrote a commentary on the whole Bible, and this is a quote from him. "Before God gives strength to his people, he makes them realize how weak they really are without him." Daniel's got a message coming to him from the Lord. And before he can understand that message just exactly like God wants him to do, he needs to be weak and realize his strength can only come from God above. And so he says, "Listen, I've got this message for you." And Daniel is standing there trembling. And he says in verse number 12, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You still awake? Point number one. When you pray to God, God immediately hears your prayers. Isn't that good? Oh, man. When a believer prays sincerely, it is immediately heard by God. I love this verse because this voice, this angel of God says, "Fear not, Daniel, don't be afraid. You've been praying for 3 solid weeks and you're weak. You've gone without food and drink and pleasant bread and you're sincere before the Lord." And listen, that's the key right there. He was sincere before God. And the angel of God says, "We've been hearing you all along." And you've chastened yourself. Now, you know, chasten is a sort of a discipline, you know, and that's the key here. You know, we can just pray and be insincere. We can. But Daniel was a prayer. He was a praying man who was sincere. He disciplined himself. He chastened himself. He corrected himself before the Lord. He was sincere. And God heard his prayers, and that is of great comfort to us. Sometimes we hear of loved ones with medical conditions or they're in situations that's very difficult. And sometimes we pray for these people, and it just seems like God is not hearing us because there's no answer. But we can take great comfort from the fact that although Daniel had had no answer from God to fully explain the message from God, this angel comes to him and he has said, "We've heard you from day one. And I have come to you, Daniel, with an answer." But in verse number 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, now Persia was a wicked place. It was controlled by evil, evil forces, okay? And verse number 13 says, listen, back in verse number 12, the angel of God says, "We've got an answer for you. We had it 3 weeks ago, but," verse 13, "the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But, lo, Michael, the archangel from God, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now, here's what's going on here. Is God gave the responsibility to the angel of God to deliver the message to Daniel, and the angel of God went to Daniel, set about going to Daniel, but he was detained, he was detoured in the process. Now, this is the only record we have in the scripture of anything like this. Isn't that, you know, here's what we need to take away from this. I can't walk away today. Here's what we need to take away from this is this right here. Satan can delay us and he can stand in our way. Period. I didn't know how to finish that. So let's just do it with period. He can stand in our way. He did here. And I don't know all the ins and outs of this. I know that the angel of God was detained for 21 days from giving this message to Daniel. But don't get sad about that, because here in just a minute we're going to see what the end was. But point number two is demonic forces can delay answers to prayer. Demonic forces can delay answers to prayer. At least it was in Daniel's case, okay? It, like I said, it's the only time in Scripture we see this recorded. And so Daniel was waiting for this answer, and he was wrecked in his heart. He was sad because he couldn't get an answer from God, and this angel was trying to get this answer, this message from God to him. And yet the kingdom of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, stopped him. He withstood him for 21 days. And he says in verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb." That means speechless, okay? He put his face toward the ground in humble reverence because he had just heard the message of God, and he became speechless. He was in overwhelming awe of what had just happened. And it says in verse 16, "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of man touched my lips." It's the angel of God touched his lips. This is the second time that Daniel is touched by the angel of God in this passage. First time in verse 10, and now in verse 16. "One like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Point number three is wrestling in prayer. Really wrestling in prayer. You know, one of the unfortunate things I think of modern church culture is we don't agonize in prayer. You know, I didn't live 100 years ago, but from what I hear, you know, from what I hear, churches got together and they band together and they sought God's face together and they agonized over it, Brother Jerry, and if tears were necessary, they cried about it. They did this as a church together. It's probably 10 years ago, if you guys remember this here, where Brother Chris scheduled 24 hours of prayer, and we had somebody at this altar for 24 hours. And that's a sign to God that you trust His word, and you're going to talk to Him, and you're going to seek His. That's exhausting work. That's exhausting work. And Daniel is just saying, I was speechless and I've been weak and breath has not been left upon me. And look at verse number 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. This is the third time he's touched by the angel of God. Verse 10, verse 16, and now verse 18. And he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, there's that word again, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Prayer, wrestling in prayer, duration in prayer, spending lots of time in prayer is exhausting work, but it is worth the work. Strength comes from sincere prayer. And said in verse 19, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Matthew Henry says, The touch from heaven brings us to our knees, it sets us on our feet, it opens our lips, and it strengthens us. Point number four, great times of strength can be found after the great times of weakness is over. Some of you have been there. You've been in that point in your life where you thought there was just no answer. You thought it was the end of your road, and yet you poured your heart out before the Lord, and He got you through that situation, and you were strengthened in that situation, and you got that strength through prayer. Great strength comes only after agonizing in prayer. If we take nothing home today, we need to take something home, and it's this right here. If we take nothing else home, we need to take this right here. God loves it when we admit our weakness to Him. God loves it when I seek His face, and he already knows what I've thought about, Linda, and what I've done. He already knows all that. But He loves it when I tell Him anyway. He loves it when I tell Him how weak that I am and how much I need Him. There's strength in doing that right there. Great times of strength. Verse 20 says, Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. And if you know the story, you know what happened. Alexander the Great, he conquered Persia, and he favored the Jews, okay? He favored the Jews. And so this verse is entirely correct in what it says. But look in verse number 20. It says, And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Point number five is overcoming evil influences in your life is not a once and for all matter. In other words, you can't get through this situation that you're going through and say, Well, I'm glad that's over. That's not going to happen anymore. No, this angel of God told Daniel, Look, I have given you the message from God, but I got to go back and fight because it's still happening. I've got to fight the prince of Persia because he's still trying to do harm to to God's message. It's going to go on. Satan will be relentless. He'll come back to you over and over again, and he's a master. He's like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he says in verse 21, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth." You know what the Scripture of truth is? It's the Word of God. I'll show you what's in God's message. I'll show you what's in the Word of God. And he says, "Then there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." So it'll keep on going. It'll keep on going, but he says, listen, I'll show you the answer is in the Word of God. And that's what Jesus said in the New Testament. He's praying to his Father, and he says, "Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I tell you what, you know, we it's easy for us to minimize spending time in God's word because we're so busy and we got so many important things to do, you know, work and caring for the family. But this is our strength. This is how we are strong enough to overcome satanic influences in our life. And that's through the Word of God. Whether it's at home in my closet or here, me subjecting myself to the message of the Word of God as my pastor preaches, or whatever it might be, strength comes from the Word of God, and it's important for us to see that. And when we do that, we find out that He gives us strength to get through the situation. Do you remember way back when? In 2 Kings chapter 6, I want to finish this. I'm trying to figure out what to leave out here. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria was coming after the army of Israel. The king of Syria had his army, and he was wanting to take captive the nation of Israel. And God told Elisha to stay clear of the places where the king of Syria and his army went. Do you remember that story? Yeah. You know, they'd go here, and God told Elisha about it, and Elisha already knew, so he'd tell the king of Israel, and they would evade him each time. So the king of Syria, you know, he gets his guys together, his military generals. He says, "Okay, who's a spy? Somebody in here is a spy because you're telling the nation of Israel, wherever we go, they're not there." And somebody on his staff, one of his servants, says, "Well, it's not us, it's Elisha. He's got the ear of God. He prays to God, and God tells him where we are." And so the king of Syria, he finds out where Elisha is, and he's in this certain city, and he sends his intelligence committee and his army over there, and they're going to capture Elisha. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, I love this part here. He says in verse number 13, this is the king of Syria, he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the Bible says compassed the city about, they are surrounded. And so the nation of Israel, Elisha's in this place along with his servant, and they're going to take Elisha and stop what all the damage has been done to the nation of Syria, and they're going to finally get through this successfully. And it says, "And when the servant of the man of God, Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, what are we going to do? How shall we do?' And Elisha says in verse 16, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.'" He's talking about his servant. He says, "Lord, I know what you're going to do. I have faith in you, but open his eyes to where he can have the same faith." And the Bible says, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." That's what we need to remember right there. There is a strong satanic influence that wants to peg me from serving the Lord, stop me from being a testimony, make me weak and hurt your life and hurt you and hurt your faith. And it's a strong force. It's a satanic. It's a roaring lion. And they want us to stop what we do here at Bible Baptist Church. But however strong that influence is, there's a mountain full of chariots of fire and the angels of God giving us strength otherwise. Isn't that good? Here we saw Daniel was in such a tremendous need to know what the message was of God was. And here God sent the angel of God to give him this message, and he was detained for 3 weeks by the king, by the prince of Persia. Great lesson for me and you. Hey, listen, when Satan tries to stop us and he tries to hurt us and he tries to, just know, you need to get in the Word of God, and I need to get in the Word of God. That's where our strength is. That's where God can give us the strength. That's where God can give us his message. And if we're not in it, we don't know. We prayed in the prayer room this morning. Thank you, God, in the men's prayer room. Thank you, God, for a place where we can come and hear the Word of God. Not Chris Downer's opinion, not Dwayne or David's or Stacy's or anybody else's opinion, the Word of God. That's what we need to give us strength. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the great reminder from your Word that your Word is what gives us strength, Lord, and we just pray that we would apply it. And we, this morning in the prayer room, we prayed for our government and all the leadership, the silliness that's going on among our leaders, Lord. Help us as Christians, as members of the Bible Baptist Church, to not spend too much time dwelling on that stuff. Help us to spend our time in the Word of God, because that's what gives us the strength. That's what gives us a level head to see above all the riffraff of what's going on. And Lord, we do pray for our leaders, God. I pray that you would put men and women in place who want to do things the right way, Lord, and your old way. And God, we pray that evil would have a minimal influence in our lives, and that your Word would influence for the better. Help us to always see that there's strength and success and victory in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.